Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Allen looks to his left, fires left side. To the end zone! Stephon Diggs makes the catch! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Howard Simon.
I could wear my Robinson Cano jersey and have like a syringe nearby. By the way, that's a good example for the kids.
Jeremy White.
I've been very, very wrong about hockey for the last... Don't answer that.
On WGR.
How will you feel if Vegas makes the playoffs next year? My immediate thought was I will eat a flip-flop.
Sports Radio 550.
Well, Vegas is back in the playoffs again. Happy Thursday, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us.
I got the other flip-flop saved for Seattle.
Oh, am I allowed to mention their name on the air, or are you just going to call them the Seattle hockey team?
Yeah, Seattle.
The Kraken.
Seattle.
Okay, yeah.
Kraken.
This is going to be a thing.
Seattle. I mean, if you want to get in on the lamest internet meme sports team named after an internet. If you want to be part of that joke, I guess you can. I'm just not going to embarrass myself like that.
SHT. You're going to refer to them as SHT, Seattle hockey team.
Just Seattle.
Yeah, but I don't know who you're talking about. You're going to be talking about the Mariners. You're going to be talking about the Seahawks. Maybe we're having an old Supersonics discussion. The Sounders.
I feel like
Seattle
Sounders. Storm.
I feel like the context of the conversation and sentence might help out.
Okay, well, if there's just, I'm saying, a random reference to a Seattle team. You'd have
to take a chance. Take a guess. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you want to, you can start a hockey franchise and have them come out on the ice to a scene from a really bad movie. Like, that can be your entire identity if you want.
Ooh.
And, you know.
I might have a really good gift here. Let's give me a second to do a Google search.
Just send me the money instead.
Save your money. This is more fun.
Save your money.
No, they do make them. All right. Seattle Kraken onesies.
All right. Well, they're going to get thrown right in the trash.
Well, and look, at least they'll be spitting up on them.
Yeah, that's true. Burp cloth.
Let's go
burp cloths.
Is that right? Yeah.
That'll
Seattle
work.
Kraken. I just did Seattle Kraken onesies. There's some lovesy.
I've already
onesies.
Ordered you three Seattle Kraken burp cloths for you, Jeremy. They are on their way to your house right now.
Waste of money.
Burp
but
cloths.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
We have a lot of burp cloths.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a necessity. Just kind of have a lot of old shirts and towels and whatever, rags and all the stuff. Yeah, you got to have a lot
you
of
know,
stuff around.
Real quick thing about raising babies and infants. And,
have to have twice as many, by the way. Just so
right. Well, actually, you'd be surprised.
They have their own burp cloths.
Nah, once it's burped on, you use it again. It's fine. one thing I was thinking about the other day for anybody that's raised kids, like these are our first two kids, and at the same time, you know, if you've had a baby, you know what it's like to raise a baby. If you have two at the same time, the question I find myself asking myself is, how different are babies from babies?
Huh?
You know, you had one baby. I mean, if you have a daughter, and then 5 years later have a son, and then 3 years later have another son or a daughter, you probably note the differences between them when they were 5 months, 5 weeks, whatever.
Sure.
And having never been through that, you know, we're seeing that, and we're seeing that in real time where, wow, she's a lot like this and he's a lot like this. They are very, very different.
Yeah, I can't relate because we only have one. But I could understand the point. I would know, I mean, I had two older brothers, so, you know, this one walked at such an age and talked at this, and this one's personality versus that one's personality and so forth and so on. Yeah, I absolutely
And this one likes to be held this way, and this one likes to be, this one likes the chair on this setting, and this one doesn't like the chair at all. And
Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder, I guess it would be, I mean, I have no knowledge of this. I guess twins would be the same as,
Any other two babies?
Yeah, would twins be any more likely to have similar personalities because they're twins, or would they still be just like having two different kids?
Great question. I mean, if they're identical, maybe it might be closer, but I mean, they're not. They're fraternal twins.
Yeah. Huh.
So, yeah, the things that I Google, you know, I used to have to Google things about my own health anxiety. Now I'm just Googling things about them, like, is it normal if a baby does this? Huh. Is it normal if a... Yeah. So, yeah, I'm on Google all day.
Well, you know, I just realized you're going to have to put aside a little extra money in your sports budget in future years because you got to buy tickets for two kids, not one kid.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Yeah, so you're going to have to expand your season ticket number.
Well, the good news is that's when the PR staff at both the Bills and Sabres will be hearing from me again, like, well, how about those press box passes for this young budding reporter? Sir, he's six. That's right, and he works here at...
he's interning.
Yeah, at the Twin... press.com.
Yeah, he's got his own blog already.
Yeah, he's trying to write about the team, so we're gonna need that press pass.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair offer. You know, luxury boxes are always nice. You know,
it's a good idea, right?
The kids want to grow up in a nice environment. You know, luxury boxes are good, and then eventually transition over into the 300 level and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to have extra ticks for the kids. You know, at some point, I wonder how old do they have to be before you tell them, hey, just so you know, you'll be getting the season tickets eventually.
What's that?
How old would they have to be before you tell them, by the way, I'm going to be leaving you my season tickets eventually?
Well, I mean,
I guess down the road.
There hasn't been much need to leave tickets for people. I shouldn't say that. And seniority at Bills games, and if you have really good seats, you don't want to lose your seniority. I guess that's true. I mean, I've jumped in and out of the Bills stadium so many times on the season tickets. Mine are, you know, not great seats,
though. Did you do your relocation or your location?
You know what? Honestly, yes. I looked into it. So I have one seat by myself up in the 300s, and my wife and her whole family, I sit with them often, down in the 200s. So what it adds up to is we have an extra ticket that's up there or an extra ticket also with her. And, you know, at the camper lot, each and every week it kind of plays out this way where, all right, there's 10 of us. Hey, cousin so-and-so doesn't have a ticket. Like, oh, actually, we always have an extra. And then we give the ticket to that person for, you know, double the price, family included.
Nice. That's a nice touch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, double the price. If you're family, you're double the price. Anybody else is regular price. but, you know, it's kind of a backup plan to have a buffer seat that if we are short one, which will happen sometimes. So I looked around the stadium and looked to move, and I decided not to move. I'm right where I am. This would be where, you know, the season ticket price increase. I don't know how much it increased where I am or all around the stadium, but I have the cheapest seat in the stadium.
Are you literally in the last row?
No, I used to be.
Oh, okay, I thought you were.
I used to be
up top, yeah.
And there's back there because there's bathrooms up there.
Well, and you can stand and nobody will yell at you for standing.
Absolutely. There's a lot of value back there.
Huh.
So, but I'm not any longer in the last row. I might be in like the 10th to last row or something like that, just a single seat.
I had a question for you, and I think I actually teased it for 8:30 yesterday, and I never got to it, so this is really a good tease. And it ties into the topic. One of the things, happy Thursday, I don't know if I said that. One of the things we're going to talk about this morning is the schedule. The NFL came out yesterday and announced that the schedule is coming out Wednesday, May 12th at 8 p.m. And for those of you who are interested, like it used to be the schedule come out before the draft, right? Well, Mike North, Vice President of Broadcasting, Sal had him on his podcast. Really good stuff, which I'm going to get to for today's topic. But one of the things he said is, this is the new norm. They didn't like the idea of the schedule coming out before the draft because it kind of got lost. April should be all about the draft for the NFL and all that. So from now on, expect the schedule to come out in May after the draft is done.
Okay.
So one of the and he mentioned, Mike did in Sal's podcast, again, not surprisingly, the networks are coming to the league and saying, we want the Bills in prime time. They're also actually saying, not only do we want them in prime time, we love the idea of Bills home games in prime time. Bills Mafia, the crowd, the atmosphere, they want home night games.
Well, a funny thing happened along the way through the drought is that Bills Mafia, Bills fans, kind of built the franchise up through fan representation.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that, like, the Raiders did with the Black Hole, except not as deadly.
Right, and not as many crazy costumes, I guess.
Yeah, but. I mean, it's pretty crazy, and there is a reputation for doing some crazy things. But.
Yeah, but people aren't scared, like, oh, my God, don't go to the Raiders game because of the Black Hole or whatever the heck they call those crowds.
I think people might be scared.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know. But in all seriousness, though, building that reputation, now – the stadium and the fans are part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's a little bit different. All the things you used to hear people say about it's a college atmosphere. You know, players would have said that during the drought, and we would have thought, yeah, that feels nice. Now it's like the secret's out on the cool band.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden everybody wants to see him.
Well, and the team itself, again, you win, you're usually going to find yourself on prime time. And not only winning, but, you know, Mike North said to Sal in the podcast, Josh Allen and this team are fun to watch.
Points.
Right, right. He said, I hope Allen plays for 10 more years because the league looks at this. And he made a really good point, Jeremy, about the AFC in particular. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Trevor Lawrence is going to Jacksonville, probably Zach Wilson to the Jets, Mahomes in Kansas City, Mayfield in Cleveland. He talked about how there are, you know, these young, either now talented or Justin Herbert or up-and-coming quarterbacks, they draw ratings. They draw eyes to the television set. So the Bills are a prime team to have. And I thought it was really cool. He said, when it comes to primetime games, the Bills have gone from the opponent to the anchor. They're now the team that you put in primetime, and then you just figure out, okay, who we matching up against Buffalo. Because the Bills are the team that you want in that primetime slot. So let me ask you this. If they want the Bills in primetime, and you max out at 5, and they like the idea of Bills home night games, how many you want? And are there home games? It's the Jets, New England, Miami, Pittsburgh, Indy, Houston, Atlanta, Carolina, Washington. 9 home games. How many home night games do you want, Mr. Season Ticket Holder?
Probably no more than 2.
Okay. I would think he mentioned New England, Mike North, and Pittsburgh in terms of primetime possibilities of the home schedule.
Yeah. I mean, would we agree that a 4 o'clock game is a compromise?
That is part of this discussion. I think there are if you wanted to talk about national window, it's not just primetime. It is 4:25 on Sunday afternoon.
I think that we are about to live the life that Steelers fans just lived.
Yeah.
Which is you're on at 4 o'clock a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, you have some ones, but 4, Sunday night, you're going to host. I mean, if you think about your NFL viewing habits, how often would you plop down on a Sunday night and be like, oh, it's Steelers-Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Steelers-Bengals on a Monday night. Oh, Pittsburgh and New England in the 4 o'clock game. That's nice.
Yep.
And Pittsburgh was all over this. I think their number of primetime games was 85 or something in the Mike Tomlin era.
Wow.
So, I mean, yeah, I would say get used to it. And I think that's who the Bills will replace. I mean, Pittsburgh still might get theirs, of course, here and there, but I bet the Bills get more. They're a lot more fun to watch. That's Pittsburgh's pretty
– yeah.
They had a rough year.
I agree. I wouldn't put – actually, when he said Pittsburgh, I thought, I'm not sure if I want to put them in that mix right now for prime time because I think they're going to be, you know, bad. Yeah, it's interesting. If you think – if you look at it, you think a few years – how many years ago were the Bills pretty much Sunday 1 o'clock? Like, if the only time they'd be in prime time was when they got to – well, everybody has to play one night game. But other than that, it's Sunday 1, Sunday 1, Sunday 1, Sunday. If you look at it, you could look at this schedule this year, 17 games. So you can't say half. It's not 8.5. But 8 – maybe they might have only 8 or 9 Sunday 1 o'clock games. Half the schedule could be not – a Sunday 1 o'clock game. If they get 5 primetime games, if you max out at 5, and then you're looking at 2 or 3 4:25 starts, that's half the schedule. So, yeah, I think you should be ready for, you know, a steady diet of games or not at Sunday at 1 o'clock. Far more than we've ever seen around here in, you know, I don't know what the heck the schedule was 30 years ago. I don't remember how many night games there would have been. But it's been quite some time. When you look at the schedule and go, it's not all Sunday 1 o'clock games. I think they're going to be in a whole bunch of national windows.
Yeah, which will be fun. And the 4 o'clock games to me will be, I don't know if they'll be more fun than the night games, but that's almost like, I don't want to say it's a bigger compliment because it's not, but it really is a really big compliment. You're the feature game.
Yep.
Are we going to get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman here ever for like a, who do they play this year in the NFC that could make that a 4 o'clock game?
Atlanta, Carolina, Washington.
That's it.
But New Orleans, too.
And,
okay.
No, that's
here,
a road game. But remember, one of the things they're doing is they're working themselves away from the road team always determines the network. They've had some crossover games, and as Mike North said to Sal, they're kind of chipping away at that concept. By the new TV deal, I don't know that it'll be completely gone, Jeremy, but they're getting to the point where they're basically looking at the games as free agents. They're not marrying AFC road team, you're on CBS. Okay. NFC road team, you're on Fox. They're getting away from that.
Well, good.
So it's possible, you know, the Bills could play, I mean, I guess it's possible they could play New England and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman would have that game.
Is New England the best home game?
Well, that's why I wanted to ask you. I think...
That's the biggest problem we've got is their road games are better games than their
goodness,
home games.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Kansas City, New Tampa. Orleans, and Tampa all scream, at least Kansas City and Tampa, but I think New Orleans, too, they all scream prime time. Chiefs and Tampa have to be primetime games, right?
I would think so.
Chiefs are absolutely not a Sunday afternoon game, not even the 425 window. I think that is a night game.
Yeah, I do, too.
And if I think Brady against the Bills is a night game.
That wouldn't shock me to be a 4 o'clock. I mean, that could also fit very well a 4 o'clock mindset, mm-hmm. just yep. because – You know, think about how many times they put Brady and Rodgers was not primetime. That was 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
You get that 4 o'clock Sunday window where everybody tunes in. I don't know how late in the season it might be. Especially if you're in Tampa, you could count on it probably mattering to both teams. If you put Bills-Bucks week 13 in Tampa, I mean, a 4 o'clock game there would be pretty nice.
See, I was thinking about the New England game, the home New England game in that 4:20 as the late afternoon national TV window, as opposed to a primetime game. Now, I don't know where they put it. There is also that discussion of when you place these games in primetime. Do you want them earlier in the season? Do you want them later in the season, especially a division game? You know, what does the league think in terms of New England or Miami? Who do they think would be the best threat to the Bills? Is there a preference over the Patriots or Miami in terms of that's the game we want to put in the national window when they play the Bills? I think that's part of the discussion, too. I could see Bills-New England as a 425 game, thinking that's a big divisional matchup maybe in the second half or maybe in the early December portion of the schedule.
That answer about who's the bigger threat comes down to one player.
Uh-huh.
You know who that is?
The quarterback?
Which quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Tua. To me, it comes down to Tua.
You think he's the better draw from a rating standpoint?
No. If Tua's good, Miami's the threat.
Yeah,
if Tua's not good, it doesn't matter who New England's quarterback is. They're the threat.
Right, but I meant it from structuring the TV schedule before you know, obviously the season's not playing out. You can flex games.
We're just going to flex, baby.
You're flexing Bills, Miami.
We're flexing everything. If the Dolphins are good, and if Tua is – are you kidding me? If Tua is exciting and the Dolphins are good, then Bills-Dolphins is – you know, a big draw, but that's a big if for Tua.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think if you're sitting down, the broadcast division is sitting down and looking at the Bills' schedule, they have to make a decision now, in theory. New England, Miami, what right now would be more of a national TV window matchup? Bills-Patriots, Bills-Dolphins? I'm going to guess it would be Bills-Patriots.
I do too. I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, even with an unknown of how's Cam going to be, assuming he's the quarterback opening day, I think the Patriots will be better with the additions they made. So I would tend to believe they would lean towards that game. Maybe not a Sunday night or a Monday night game, but a Sunday national window, late afternoon national window game. I think that's a game you're going to be looking at in that window.
You know, thinking about Thanksgiving again, did winning and putting on a show on Thanksgiving 2 years ago boost your interest in being on Thanksgiving? Because I think the Bills are a great candidate for a Thursday night Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
Last year would have been Pittsburgh-Baltimore, right? And I just told you.
Bills-Patriots on Thursday night?
I think the Bills are going to be the new Steelers. If they're good, they take over what Pittsburgh got. 4 o'clock, night games all the time, and Pittsburgh was in that late Thanksgiving window. I mean, it could be anybody, of course. It's usually a divisional matchup. Yeah. But Bills-Patriots Thanksgiving Eve.
Or even Bills-Dolphins, whatever.
Bills-Dolphins.
Yeah. Right, one of those two.
Bills-anybody Thanksgiving evening. I mean, that schedule comes out on May, 12th?
Yeah.
You're going to need a lot of tables for that one.
Do you want to – if the Bills are on Thanksgiving night, you want a home game or a road game?
I mean, road game is easy. I mean, a road game would be no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Home game would be an event. I mean, you know, the 4 o'clock game for the Bills was a road game. To me, that was a lot of fun. You had your family over, you watched the game. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Home is a different story. I would bet that – I'm not sure like what the majority of people, if they knew they were going to play Thanksgiving night, would you want to be home or road?
That's what I'm saying. What do you do for your Thanksgiving meal? Are you tailgating it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of odd.
I don't know if you
it?
Know this, but we eat well at those tailgates.
I don't know that. I've never been invited. So
okay.
But that's not, I'm not, I didn't mean to bring that up. I'm just saying.
I'll invite you every day this year. And how many times will you come?
None.
All right. Okay.
You know me. I'm hunkered down on game
days. Well, you weren't invited because you were always on the air.
Yeah.
You're always on the air, and then you just bowed out altogether.
And then I just kind of said, the heck, I'm out of here.
Yeah, you just hunkered down. But, yeah, I mean, for me, every tailgate is kind of like Thanksgiving. So it might be a little different because we would make a turkey instead of all the stuff that we make as it is.
Yeah, you're going to have all the fixins at a tailgate Thanksgiving party?
Oh, it would be pretty incredible, yeah.
Big table full of pies?
You might just not see every one of your family members that you normally see. You know, instead of going to third and fourth cousins and grandmas and grandpas, like, grandma doesn't come to this game or grandpa can't make it here. So we'll see him tomorrow for the Friday Thanksgiving in the family. We'll see. I mean, when that came out 2 years ago, it was really exciting and they were so good. And it was such a great performance.
Yeah.
Because I remember you talking about never wanting to be on Thanksgiving.
A thousand million percent against it.
Because of all the stress.
Yep.
But now that they're good, is that any different?
That was a hell of a game.
It was great.
Really. Right? I was like on a natural high, I think, for 48 hours after that game.
Yeah.
There's less of an objection to, I think, because they're that good. I think I would have less of an objection to them playing on Thanksgiving. Look, I think you have to change your mindset. You know? You know me. I'm very much old school in a lot of things. And one of those is, you know, Marv Levy used to say this all the time, and I'm, you know, almost as, you know, old as Marv. Sunday 1 o'clock. I'm all about Sunday 1 o'clock. I am very much a routine person. I love Sunday 1 o'clock. But, you know, and Mike North said this to Sal, Bills fans, you got to get used to the new normal. And it can be a shock to the system if you haven't won, if your team hasn't won in a long time, and then all of a sudden they're good, and now you're getting the max 5 primetime games, and you're getting a handful of 4:25 starts. For someone like me, who loves Sunday at 1 o'clock, it's a shock to the system, and you got to get used to it because this is the new normal for the Bills. They're going to be one of those teams that's not going to be every Sunday at 1 o'clock. They're going to be all over the schedule because they're a good draw. They're winning. They're fun, and they're a good draw. So, yeah, it's I have to adjust my thinking and understand that I would not be as strenuously objecting to Thanksgiving because I get it, man. They're good. They are showing off the Buffalo Bills to the national football audience. They want them in windows all to themselves. I get that. 803-0550. Hey, when we get back, so we'll keep things easy for starters. The Tampa game. Specifically, because that's another topic that Sal brought up with Mike North, are the Bills in the conversation for that Thursday night opener in Tampa? And he said, absolutely. So would you like to see the Bills open the season against Brady in Tampa on Thursday night?
No.
Yeah, I got a tweet from someone named Jeremy White, and there's a blue check mark. So I'll mention what you said when we get back. We'll get you Brian Colesfield's Twitter poll results, too, because he tweeted that out last night. I'm already getting responses, a whole bunch of different responses about that. We'll get to some of those as well. Happy Thursday. Marty Baron coming up at 7:30. Sal's going to join us today. We'll get more into the conversation he had with Mike North, Vice President of Broadcasting. Casey Mittelstadt from the Sabres is going to join us at 9 o'clock this morning. And the Yankees are having a rough start. We're going to delve into that a little bit with Max Goodman, who covers the Yankees for Sports Illustrated. That's at 9:30. We have lots of open phone lines, so dial us up, 803-0550 WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I like Sunday at 1 o'clock, but at the end of the day, it's a good problem to have. You know, if you're getting more than everybody gets to play one primetime game or whatever the league does, you know the more you play, you're having some type of success. So we'll gladly accept it, but I always enjoy the Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff.
There's Bill's GM, Brandon Bean, speaking my language. Maybe only half the schedule will be Sunday 1 o'clock this year when all things are said and done. So what about Tampa in week one? You want to see them in the Thursday night opener? They are, in the words of Mike North, the vice president of broadcasting, he told Sal, they are absolutely in the conversation for opening night against Tampa. The Bucs' schedule at home is not really that great. Let's see. So tweets on that. No, rather it be November-ish, around the same week as Dolphins or Jacksonville. That would be ideal for Bills fans. Let's see. We got David. Haven't you seen enough L's from Brady? There have been a few. Odie. After last season, I realized I enjoy Sunday 1 p.m. games much more. I hated waiting till the evening. Also, if we had a Thursday game, I hated not having a Sunday game to watch.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's not about getting up early anymore. It's about the waiting that's tough. However,
the waiting's the hardest part, from what I understand.
Yeah, but those of us in the smoker community, the late game does help. I mean, if you got an 8 o'clock game, get out there, get to work.
You need a little extra time to get your food ready, huh? And then I got a tweet here from... Let me get to Corey. I would take it for two reasons. One... We go down, we beat them. We set the tone as a legit contender on national TV and beat that clown. If they lose, it's only game one. It's out of the way. We don't have to hear about them again until the Super Bowl. And then I got a tweet from someone who claims to be Jeremy White. Would you like to see the Bills on Thursday night, week one against Tampa? No, for the same reason I didn't want them to play Tampa in the Super Bowl if we could choose the opponent, because I can't take more games that are all about Tom. And I followed up and tweeted at this person. So does your policy about never picking the Bills to beat Tom Brady, did it extend to Tampa? And you said, yes, it did, which I probably forgot. You probably said that to me, and I didn't realize
I will never
that.
Pick the Bills to beat a team quarterbacked by Tom Brady. So when they open at the Bucs, if that's what it is, I have to sit here and pick a loss.
Wow.
Not fun. Let's not do that.
Wow.
Listen, the Bills don't need the Bucs in their opener. Why can't the Bills host Sunday night football to open the season?
Right. You just hit the key reason why I don't think they'll be on Thursday night. Again, referring to the conversation Sal had with Guy from the NFL, he basically said it's the Thursday night opener in week one. There's a high floor for the ratings. So you don't necessarily need to, quote, I mean, not his quote, but burn a big-time opponent on Thursday night football against Tampa. People are tuning in. It's the first football game of the year. So, yeah, I think that would be the main reason why you wouldn't put Bills and Bucks in that window. You'd save it for another national window. You can throw in anybody. You could throw in Atlanta. You could throw in Carolina. You could throw in, I don't know, I mean, Giants, Bears, Dallas. Pick someone up. Miami. I don't think the Bills are playing against Tampa. I think they would save that for another night. Bills Sunday night in week one. Bills KC.
Well, the last time they went cross-conference in the opener was 2016. They had an actual replay of the Super Bowl, Carolina and Denver. And before that, you're going all the way back to, 2007, Saints-Colts. Would that have been also a rematch of the Super Bowl?
Probably,
so
they only
crossed AFC to NFC twice since 2004.
And I think, I'm trying to remember how many – recent Bills openers against the other conference. I think in recent years they've been opening against the Jets all the time, right? Isn't three of the last four?
Yeah.
And I don't recall all the openers off the top of my head, but I'm trying to think of a season opener against an NFC team. And this is where you'll tell me, hey, it was 2 years ago, you idiot. So anyway, yeah, I don't think they're playing Thursday night. I think they would save the Tampa game for a little bit later. And I do think there's a good discussion about whether they would be in week one Sunday night. And if that's the case, you know, I don't know if they want to use the Kansas City game early for the Bills, but that's a great matchup, I think. You know, a rematch of the AFC Championship game, two Super Bowl contenders, Mahomes and Allen. I think that's a really attractive Sunday night football game in week one, or maybe that's in the late afternoon window in week one on Sunday.
I mean, Bills-Colts would not be that bad of a opener, right? The Colts are good, made the playoffs, Carson Wentz. I'd like Bills-Steelers 4 o'clock. That's
in
gonna
week
be my
one?
Yep, that's my opener.
Yeah,
it'll be nice outside. It's going to be light out for a while. You know, early in the season, we can have those 4 o'clock games where it doesn't get dark out.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a beautiful fall day. So yeah, I want Bills Steelers at 4 o'clock, 4:30, whatever.
I'm trying to think. What do I want in the opener? I there's always a part of me that goes and says, okay, I want as close to a guaranteed win as possible. So do I want the Jets? Do I want
Atlanta?
I'm thinking. I'm looking at the schedule. Right, Carolina. Darnold in Carolina, assuming he's starting.
Yeah, I mean, Houston's a good answer.
Houston
here, right?
Is probably Tyrod Taylor. I don't know, Washington with Fitz. I lean towards give me a game that I know it's going to be a win because I want to start the season in a fun mode. So I would shy away from Pittsburgh, New England, you know, the more attractive games. And I would lean towards a team on the schedule that I'd look at and go, okay, yeah, they could win that. That would be like Carolina, Houston, Jets, somewhere in that group, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. I mean, who is the Jets quarterback on opening day? That I think that would be a
probably
a
Zach
very,
Wilson.
Very winnable game for opening day for the Bills.
So the real question is anybody on the Bills wear number 9 right now?
Number 9.
It was Ryan Lindell for a while, right? Didn't he wear number 9?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, 9 has been for quarterbacks and kickers and punters maybe too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I ask is because Travis Etienne wears number 9. He's going to want that number. Trubisky's got 8. Davis Webb wears 7. Just scrolling through, J.J. Nelson, who's listed with the Bills, he wears 7 also. I guess their roster is pretty.
Who's J.J. Nelson?
He is on the ESPN.com's depth chart for the Bills.
Really?
A UAB receiver, yeah.
Huh.
It might be a mistake.
No, I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea. He could be. It's not like I know everybody who was on the practice squad.
Number 9 is available.
Hmm.
Okay.
You like 9, huh?
I mean, it's the number he wears now. So now he's allowed to have it.
Oh, that's right. The jersey things. Yeah.
The jersey
thing. Hey, you know what's – oh, that's right. This is a new – it's not a switch. Did you see the thing that just for this year, if there's a player who wants to switch to a single-digit jersey, he would have to buy out any unsold jerseys of his old number before he could make the switch?
That's pretty standard. That's what you have to do in the NBA,
too. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
All right,
yeah, very standard. You have to buy everything that's left.
Yeah. So, and then next year, you wouldn't have to worry about it. They would need a year lead time. If you give them the lead time and they switch the jersey for 22, you're fine. But in theory, if you did it this year, you got to buy out all the remaining jerseys.
Yep. Well, Etienne wears number 9. He wouldn't have to buy any out. He could just, wherever he goes, he could just wear number 9. You know, I was looking at some of the best college players ever to wear.
I'm trying to think what number is the best. Like, I'm envisioning a guy getting a handoff, running through a big hole and exploding downfield. What number do I want? What number on a running back goes, yeah?
2.
2? McGahee?
2 is the fastest number.
Faster than 1?
2 is faster. Deion Sanders wore 2. Chase Young wore 2, defensive end at Ohio State. Charles Woodson wore number 2. Derrick Henry wore number 2.
Yeah, I saw
two is the fastest
I saw
number.
A picture of him with a number 2
jersey. I think of college running backs, and I think of Reggie Bush, number 5.
5.
Yeah.
Also,
he was great.
Guys that wore number 5, Edgerrin James, LaDainian Tomlinson, Christian McCaffrey, they wore number 5.
I'd say not 8. It means you run around in circles.
Marvin Harrison and Julio Jones were number 8 in college. Now they could wear number 8 if they had played today.
Hmm.
I looked at like the most famous college players by number. There's some pretty good ones. And a lot of these. Todd Gurley wore 3 when he was in college.
Low number,
Kevin Falk wore 3. Odell Beckham wore number 3. And so did Keyshawn Johnson. Now these guys could come out of college and just wear number 3.
Right.
You know? And maybe my favorite is Jerome Bettis wore number 6.
He's a big dude for a 6.
In a single-digit jersey, that was the widest 6 you've ever seen in your life, right?
That's a big body guy for a single-digit. He should be wearing
3. But if he was the 6... The bus nickname probably would have been even better, right? Here comes bus number six.
Like,
lots of cool stuff. Eric Dickerson, when he was in college, wore 19. Now you can do that.
Huh.
Fred Biletnikoff, wide receiver, wore number 25. Hmm. So there's like a lot of potential, a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
I'm happy about it. I feel like we missed out. Willis McGahee wearing number 2 at Miami was the fastest player you've ever seen in your life. You know, then he got his knee blown up. But I'm just excited about the cool numbers. And, you know, some players will have a decision to make. Diggs tweeted about it, said he was thinking about it. Did he wear number 5 at Maryland?
I'm not sure.
But he said he wasn't going to change. So, also, he's got a good number with number
14. I like him in that number. 14. Yeah, it just feels right. I don't know why.
My wife asked me last night, we were talking about this, and she said, what number would you wear if you were a pro football player? And I said, well, what position would I be playing? She said, well, it doesn't really matter that much. Now you can wear whatever you want. I said, well, yeah, but different positions, I'd want different numbers.
Yep.
You know, like if I'm a defensive lineman, I don't want the same number as if I'm a wide receiver.
Right.
If I'm a tight end, I've got to wear number 87 because every tight end wears number 87.
48.
48.
I have no
fullback?
Idea. Yeah. Well, tight end could wear it. Couldn't a tight end be in the 40s? Or no?
I think so. A wide receiver could wear a number in the 40s, and that's going to get weird, right?
40s, I feel, 40s scream fullback.
For sure.
Wide
for sure,
receiver,
yeah.
40, wow.
Mm. H-back, fullback, tight end.
Yep.
All day. You know who would look good in a single number on the Bills? Ooh, this is a good question.
Ooh, let me see if I can get
this. Which Bills player would look the best in a single number? I think there's a slam dunk answer.
You're kidding me? A slam dunk answer?
I think it's a slam dunk answer.
A single digit Bills guy.
Not a quarterback, of course.
Yeah, No. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Beasley? I don't know.
McKenzie.
Why is he a speed? Single numbers, faster guys, McKenzie.
Absolutely. Huh. And he's a Swiss Army knife kind of guy.
Yeah.
The story on single numbers, you might think it's all stupid, and I get that. Like, there's a lot of things that people care about that are stupid. You know, when there's a player on the Ravens that's going to make an offer to Lamar Jackson for the number 8 because that's what he wore in college. He tweeted at him, like, what's it going to take to get number 8?
Oh, wow.
Of course, he would have to buy up all of Lamar Jackson jerseys. But there's a story that I found in the New York Times from 2016 that at Virginia, University of Virginia, they had a uniform number draft at the end of their training camp because, you know, you have so many players, numbers aren't set, and the coach knows that the number matters to the players. So at the end of training camp, he ranked all of them, or there might have been a vote, about who worked the hardest, and then there was a draft for you get the first overall pick, what number do you want to wear? And in addition to that, the story also mentioned that in college football, a big recruiting tactic will be, you know, if you're Nick Saban at Alabama or if you're at Dabo Swinney at Clemson, you say to a player, you know, we'll let you wear number 9.
Yeah.
We'll let you wear number 6. Not just your old number, single digits. Single digits
they have that
matter.
Big, I didn't realize they mean that much to these guys.
In college football, it's like a sign that you're a stud. I mean, different schools have this, right? Doesn't LSU, somebody tweeted me, LSU number 18 is a big deal. At Syracuse, 44 is a big deal.
Right.
And I think maybe the universal thing in college football is for a lot of kids, the single digit means you're legit.
Wow.
So
amazing.
I think you'll see a lot of guys in the first round this year coming out wearing single digits.
Wow. We are discussing the schedule. 803-0550 to join us. Would you like to see the Bills in the Thursday night opener against Tampa? Yes or no, and why or why not? Brad tweeted in, yeah, it'd be nice to see where we're at to start the year. I'll take as many primetime games as possible. It's just fun football. Well, the max is 5. Bills had 5 last year, although there's an asterisk on that because of games that were moved around, but the max is 5 primetime games, and the Bills might be one of those teams that has the max. There were 8 teams last year that had 5 primetime games in the schedule before the season began. The Bills might be in that group this year. Hey, the draft is 1 week from today. Did you know that? The NFL draft starts 1 week from today, tonight. We'll have extensive coverage here on WGR. Coverage of the NFL draft brought to you by Taco Bell. Taco Bell is now hiring. Text BBG-TB to 85000. By the Quilted Squirrel, the marketing agency that believes your brand matters. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. And by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys.
Everybody is on. Everybody!
These guys were really excited about getting vaccinated. Really excited. I got my second shot yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah. You knew that because we were on watch to see if I was feeling the ill side effects enough to not be here.
Some people do. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason to explain it.
And I was a couple things about it. You know, I've been working from home for a long time, so if I feel a little under the weather, I don't have to come in. You know, it's a little easier, and I'm sure a lot of people have been faced with that decision. Like, I don't feel great, but I can probably still work, whether you're working remotely or whatever. I've had a cold for the last 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. So I felt like junk.
Yeah,
I felt like junk for 3 days. And with regard to the vaccine, if you have COVID, you're not supposed to get the vaccine because it might hurt the effectiveness of it.
Okay.
So yesterday I went real quickly. I called my doctor. Like, I haven't felt great in a couple of days. Like, what should I do? Should I put off my second appointment? They said, get a rapid test, and if you don't have, you know, COVID, then you're good to go. It's all in terms of, like, the safety of it. It's just about the effectiveness of the vaccine. You want it to be as effective as possible, of course, for your second shot. So got a rapid test, negative, got the second shot. And I got it at KeyBank Center. So both my shots were at KeyBank Center. And it was not lost on me to be in the building and in line thinking about being there again and being at a Sabres game. And there are so many questions about the next time we're at a Sabres game, including maybe more than ever, like, what does the team look like? Is the guy that I've come to that arena for 5 years still there? You know? Casey Middlestead, who's on the show at 9 o'clock today, like, what's he look like?
Assuming he's here.
Yeah, next year. What's Dylan Cousins look like next year? I know fans have been able to go to a couple games this year, but I'm talking, when's the next time I'll be in there on a Friday night and the house is packed and we like them? You know? Like,
yeah.
Those times are really great. And so whatever, it was like a little dose of hope, not just in the vaccine, but in that the hockey team will someday be able to pack the house again because people are feeling better about them. And even that, I mean, it's not a very high bar to clear, but it's nice. You know, it's nice that this season kind of turned into, instead of everybody miserable all day, every day.
Yeah.
Thinking, no, I'd like to watch them tonight. I'm good to watch them.
It does. I'm very thankful because, you know, watching their games was really, I think drudgery was the word I used the other day. It was just no fun. And it was, you know, sucking the life out of you. Now, at least, right, at least it's enjoyable. It's entertaining. It's fun. Again, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to equate that to, oh, so you guys think they're winning the cup next year? No, I just want to see that they're getting better. I'd like to see the players who I know are going to be here next year, or at least I believe I know, I'd like to see them show improvement as opposed to, you know, I don't care as much about record and draft position and all that stuff. I wanted to see, you know, Dahlin look like Dahlin and Jokke Haru. And hey, Middlestad, okay, I wrote the guy off. Maybe I'm wrong. Cousins, hey, he is good. You know, I mean, it's stuff like that it just gives you a little reason for encouragement. And by the way, two things real quick on the shot. They are readily available now, so it's a lot easier to make appointments. There are appointments available. You know, Mark Poloncarz is tweeting out quite often, you know, hey, there are plenty of open appointments. Here you go. So it's easier to find one. Also, if you're in the 60-plus crowd, the governor announced yesterday, you don't even need an appointment. If you're 60 or older, you just walk in now, and you'll be able to get a COVID shot. So that's good, too. And we have apparently a watershed sporting moment coming up next month. Did you see what the Indianapolis 500 announced yesterday?
No, I did not.
May 30th, the next Indy 500, May 30th, the plan is to allow up to 135,000 spectators.
Wow.
Which would be the largest crowd for a sporting event since the pandemic began, you know, over a year ago. Yeah, wow. That is a major wow. I thought it was a wow when, you know, the Texas Rangers announced we'll allow full capacity for home games. 135,000 people will be allowed at the Indianapolis 500 racetrack. That's shocking to me. I can't believe we're at that point yet, but you know, if you're looking for feeling normal.
And speaking of the time of year, I mean, the Derby is as early as it can possibly be this year. It's sneaking up on us.
It's next Saturday. It's
first Saturday in May, and it's May 1st. Like, it can't be any earlier. And I keep looking at the calendar thinking, man, wow, like, maybe it was the snow that was outside yesterday that had me thinking, the Derby? I'm looking at snow. How could it possibly already be the Derby?
Yeah, it seems too early. It seems like it's supposed to be a week later than that.
Yeah. But, my arm hurts a little bit, and in terms of side effects, I don't know if I'd be able to tell because I still have this cold.
Oh, right.
You know, so, like, how do you feel? Not great.
But it might be the cold as opposed to...
Exactly. It might be the cold for 3 days, or I might, you know, hit the floor at about 8 o'clock this morning. But
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I mean, like, you're fine, right? Nate?
Yep.
Nate had COVID. He didn't, but I mean, you know, I was texting with Nate yesterday, Jeremy, and he's still, like he said, he's still having some breathing issues, and his voice isn't back completely. I know he was on the air last Saturday, so the shot, and if you do get COVID, it's so...
He also lost his taste for a little while.
He still doesn't have it back.
I thought he tweeted last night that it was back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this was yesterday morning, so you might be right then. Yesterday morning during the show, I was texting him in case you weren't going to be available today, and he mentioned he still doesn't have, like, taste and smell and all. Like, you can't. Wow, that's crazy.
I read a real fascinating article, or it was a podcast, so I didn't read it. Sorry. It was read to me about a woman who was a food critic who lost her sense of smell.
Oh, my goodness.
And thought, like, what do I do?
Yeah, you can't do your job.
I can't taste anything. You can't smell. You can't taste anything. It took a couple weeks to months, but it did come back. So.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm excited to be double vaxxed and ready to get back in stadiums and concerts and all that good stuff. So I retweeted Mark Poloncarz tweeting out ECC South and ECC North both with hundreds of appointments today. If you haven't had a chance to do it, anyone 18 or older can make an appointment or walk in.
Beautiful. 803-0550. Hey, when we get back, NFL draft. There was a guest on One Bills Live yesterday who actually used the term home run hitter to describe a prospect in conjunction with the Bills. We'll let you know who it is, and we'll delve into that and the significance of that term when we get back. Would you want to see the Bills play in the Thursday night opener against Tampa? We're talking a little bit about the schedule as well. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.